Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, but Bulbasaur versus the Rock, I think that that goes very differently than if you match him up against Jason Statham. Which, I mean, they already did in Hobbs and Shaw. Oh, I'm sorry, we have guests. Sorry, I was just talking to Volleyball on a Stick because it gets lonely down here. Hey, welcome back to the Citanium Mine. Yeah, it's a little ways removed from the surface, and it in no way drives you insane, so glad you could come. So on this episode, I wanted to tell you about a Metroidvania-style game in a pixel graphics style called Carrion. But the interesting thing about Carrion is that it's sort of like Metroid or Castlevania, but in reverse, because you're definitely not the hero. You are basically a bio-life form that is trying to escape from a science facility where you have been created and tested, and now you just want to get out as quickly as possible. So you're going around these levels as, you have to think of it kind of like the actual blob from the movie, but with a lot of teeth, but just as hungry for people. Because the thing that you do in order to regain health is you got to eat people that are in the facility. That's highly entertaining, more than you'd really think. But the interesting idea about turning the genre on its head and having you play as essentially the villain of the piece, as the actual monster, was a really interesting and insightful way of doing this style of, you know, 2D adventure gaming. Now, it's important to note that your primary objective is not really necessarily the stalking and killing people part that, you know, maybe Phobia Studios and Devolver Digital really hyped it as. The main goal is to eventually, you know, break out of this facility and get out, to escape this place where you have been penned up and contained. You know, when there are people in your way, they have, you know, guns and energy shields and eventually mechs that look like they came straight out of Aliens. So you have to do something about them. They are going to fire at you. You are not invincible, even though you might be very powerful. And so trying to take out any kind of opposition is just going to make your day a whole lot easier. And I think the thing that really surprised me about the game is how fast you actually move through the facility. You have no limitations of platforming like you would in a different kind of Metroidvania title, right? You actually have these tentacles, and as long as your tentacles can stretch out and reach something, you can move to it. So it feels a little bit more like you're always underwater, like, you know, the underwater sections of games where you can kind of constantly move up and down and left and right. It's like that, but a whole lot faster and not, you know, painful to play through. You do have to think about things when you are playing through this, especially when you're dealing with enemies. And it feels at the start that you are way too overpowered, but you actually aren't. And when you start to realize that the military guys, when they come into it, or the mechs, or the base defense systems activate, that they can tear down your health in very little time, you understand why you have to be so quick and why you have to be so maneuverable in this game. One of the interesting mechanics that they use in this game that you don't normally see in this genre, different sizes of your carrion monster have different abilities that you actually need to solve some of the puzzles and activate some of the areas in the game, which you need to progress. So a small version of yourself can actually, like, spit webs through grates so that you can hit switches and such. But then the larger versions of yourself can eventually smash through grates and gates that you normally couldn't get through. And so you have to actually do a little bit of size management. And they have a few ways that you can do that. Sometimes you'll see these pools where you can take some of your mass and just drop it off and you can absorb it later. And then, of course, when you get to save points, you automatically replenish everything that you have. You get to your full mass and your full health, essentially. You can get some, like, stealth abilities and temporarily turn yourself invisible when you're smaller, but then your bigger form is going to have different abilities unlock over the course of the game. And you do indeed unlock new skills and abilities over the course of the game that allows you to access previously unavailable areas of the facility. I would say that the big problem that I had with Carrion was, I've been telling you that it's a Metroidvania-style game. And for those who are not familiar with that term, I'll just briefly explain that once upon a time in one of the golden ages of gaming, back in like NES and Super NES days, anyway, back then, there were two very important game series called Castlevania and Metroid, and the general idea was that they were 2D platformers where you upgraded your character continuously, and it allowed you to access previously inaccessible areas, and it did have a focus on exploration in order to go back to previous parts of the game and unlock things that you didn't normally think that you could at the start. You have to kind of do some backtracking, and Legend of Zelda actually ends up doing a lot of this as well. Although it sort of bills itself in that vein, there really isn't a ton of backtracking to go and explore parts of the facility that were not already in your main path. Like, you do backtrack to previous areas, but it's mostly in service of the main game. There's not a lot of places where you go off the beaten path and go, oh, hey, remember that thing from the very start? I'm going to go back there. No, it's basically you go from point A to point B, and then, yeah, you do have to go back through point A, but it's only so that you can get from B to C, because after you get to B, you have to go back to a hub and then, you know, use your newfound skills in order to access C. There's no point where, like, D, that isn't part of, like, the whole main quest, where you're like, oh, I'll go over and see what's happening with D. I didn't experience any of that. It is not that kind of exploration-based game. It is a large interconnected facility where you have to keep weaving your way through it as you unlock new skills and abilities, but it's that exploration part of, like, going off and finding these neat things out in the middle of nowhere that I didn't think it really accomplished. I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I didn't experience that while I was playing it. I have not finished the game. I know it's not a particularly long game. I think it's about 6 hours, somebody said, which isn't terrible. Like, for a small independent game like this, I don't think that's a terrible length. But when I think about some of the other games that are in that genre, if they really want to compare this to a Metroid or to a Castlevania, and we're not even talking about the new ones, we're talking about the old ones, it's going to be hard to justify that length. But anyway, the point is that when you make comparisons to a legendary game franchise, there are certain things people are going to expect from it. And while I liked a lot of what Carrion did, I don't know if I would necessarily even consider it a Metroidvania title. I think I could consider it like a 2D adventure title. I think that that would be a fair assessment. But I don't think it's quite the same kind of experience people would assume you would get if you were playing like a Metroid. However, you know, in Metroid, you never get the chance to play Metroid Prime, and essentially that's what you're doing in Carrion. There's some neat things that you can play around with. You eventually get the ability to, like, possess people and use them to go and shoot other people, or to flip switches that you can't access yourself. There's really neat things that they do that are kind of puzzle platform action game tropes, essentially, but they work very well. It is a pixel graphic style. Again, I've talked about this before. Sometimes pixel graphics work for me, sometimes they don't. I thought this looked terrific. I think that it really encapsulates almost like the 80s feel of a monster movie by having it in that pixel graphic style. It did feel like a kind of retro game, and I did love the idea of it being a reverse horror game. There is something very satisfying about just going into a facility and whipping through very quickly to find all of the people and munch them and gain health and trying to escape this facility. It is a very unique experience in that regard. I think that people will have a really good time playing the game. I just don't know if it's necessarily the kind of game that is going to scratch an itch if you're looking for the kind of game that it's been associated with. And since I've been talking about how Carrion doesn't quite feel like a Metroidvania title, boy, it seems like a great time to talk about alternatives if you are looking for them, especially if you're looking for something that is very true to form for a Metroid or Castlevania title, the classic ones, not necessarily the 3D variants. Although I do love myself Metroid Prime, the Castlevania hasn't fared exactly as well when it came to the 3D versions, but that's not really here nor there. Let's talk about some 2D platformers that are in the Metroidvania style that you may have overlooked. The one that I would compare more to Metroid, if you're looking for something that's more classic Metroid specifically, where you can go off the beaten path and there's ammo capacity upgrades and you have, you know, your guns and stuff, I would direct your attention towards Shadow Complex, which was built by a fairly small team at Chair Entertainment. And they made this 2D platforming Metroidvania title, but they did it in a style where there was some depth to it. It was kind of a 2.5, some people would call it, where you would face enemies and the enemies would be like in the distance and you'd be firing into the distance. So it felt like there was some depth in this world, even though you are realistically going on a single plane. It is not a 3D game, but they did make it feel a little bit more like a 3D game. A lot of fun, and not a particularly long game either, but I'd say that you get about 10 hours out of it. The remaster is probably really good. I played the original. In terms of Castlevania, I think that the best thing I can point people towards is a game that was actually made by one of the legends of Castlevania creation that went off and did his own thing, sort of as an homage to Castlevania, and that would be Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is an absolutely terrific game and has so much content to it. You can play it for so very long. I don't even know how many hours I put into that game. And it encourages you to go into every single nook and cranny of the game. Places that you would never think to look. That, you know, you're looking at the main map and you're saying, oh, there's a little spot up here in the nether regions of the map that I don't think I could have accessed before. And I wonder if I go back there if I'm going to find something cool. And chances are you do. It is beautiful to look at. It is so much fun to play. There are hidden boss battles. I can't speak highly enough of it. It was one of my favorite games of 2019, and it is an absolute showcase for the fact that sometimes a genre is not dead, it is just asleep, and people need to wake up to the fact that it was awesome. And Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is definitely that game. So again, I really like some of the stuff that they did in Carrion. I just don't necessarily know if it is the Metroidvania experience that people might have hoped it was, and they might feel a little bit wanting. But it's got some cool stuff involved, and if you ever wanted to play The Thing or The Blob, congratulations, you have a game now. Luckily, I might mention that the Cytanium Mine is blob-free since 2019. Yeah, we got rid of the one, and it has not returned to our knowledge. Me and Not Wilson over here have verified that ourselves. So if you will excuse us, we are going to go back to our debate on who would win in a fight, and thank you for joining us on Cytanium Mine. Watch your hands and feet when you get into the cart. Okay, so you're telling me you think Jason Statham stands a better chance against Bulbasaur. Okay, now that's controversial. I gotta talk to you about that.